Welcome to the Modern Yogi Podcast. An exploration of ancient wisdom.
Hello, hello, everyone.
Welcome back. We're on episode number
94.
And thank you so much for tuning in. We are on chapter 11, The Universal Form, and it has been a riveting chapter thus far, ladies.
Oh, riveting. Amazing. Exactly.
So good. One of my favorites, actually.
Really?
But then everything in the Gita is my favorite.
Yeah. You know, when people ask that question, oh, what's your favorite universe or text or this or that? I never know what to say. Like, there's so many good ones. I think I need to make a list and then rank them and then rank them and then, and I will never find the answer.
But you should just have one in your back pocket just so you don't look like
a goofy person.
A goofy person.
Yeah, I really should. I will do that.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. That's good advice.
No problem.
Everyone should do that. Everyone should have a verse of the Bhagavad Gita that really resonates with them, and they just like quote it randomly, or when they're asked, you'd be like, yeah. That's or like good. To inspire other people.
Ooh, that's good. Okay, here's the challenge, okay? The challenge is to memorize your favorite Gita verse so that you have it in your back pocket. So when someone asks you, what's your favorite Gita verse? You don't look like a goofy person.
Oh, I love it. Also, if you want to, and I'm not really the social media person in this group, but if you really want to, you want to share your favorite Gita verse and tag me, Priyadarshini, my personal account, so I can see people's favorites, and then maybe I'll be inspired by all your favorites.
Oh, I like that.
Okay, very
you can
nice.
Also tag the Modern Yogi Podcast.
Yeah. At Modern Yogi Podcast.
At Modern Yogi Podcast.
At Modern Yogi Podcast.
And where would you find our personal accounts? It's also on at Modern Yogi Podcast.
At Modern Yogi Podcast.
We're not doing that.
No, in our little bio. It's right there. So you can funny. See all of us.
Okay. So quick recap of last episode.
Recap.
Recap. Mm-hmm.
I will say we have been in a very special zone, right? With these chapter 11 texts. I don't know if they're my favorite or what, but they've been some of my favorite episodes to record with you ladies. Because at the end of each one, we've been like, oh my God, what is Arjuna going to say? We even had Priya read one of the texts in Arjuna's voice, like with the mood we thought he was having, right? Yeah. We're like, again. And she did it perfectly in Arjuna's like vibe of, oh, because Arjuna started repeating a lot of the same stuff we read in text 10 or chapter 10, like, you are this, you are that. But this time he said it from a perspective of like, oh my gosh, now that I've seen your form, you really are that. So Priya read it so beautifully with Arjuna's mood.
Thank you. I feel like Prabhupada and Krishna, they did such a wonderful job of describing like Arjuna's feeling in that moment that I can feel it when I read it.
Yeah.
I can really see and imagine and like really kind of like the feelings inside me. So we hope you enjoyed those last couple of texts. Episodes.
Yeah. Which is all, this is a vibe, this chapter. So we're all just hanging out in the casual ocean.
Yeah, in the casual ocean. If you don't know what that means, go back to listen. And I will say, if you're tuning in for the first time, don't jump right into chapter 11, text 44.
Oh, because it's intense.
Can I say one thing that's really funny? My eighth graders that were graduating, I'm a teacher, and they were graduating and they all heard I have the podcast. So they tuned in, and one kid later the next day told me, oh yeah, I heard a bit of it with my dad, and he kind of left it at that. And I was like, so what part did you hear? Did you hear from the beginning? And he's like, no, we just clicked on the last episode as he was driving me to school, to my private Catholic school. And I was like, interesting. And what did your dad think? And he was like, well, we were both a bit confused. And I was like, okay, that's fine.
Well, if anybody has any employment opportunities for Shyamali, this would be a good time. Just like if you have, or you're hiring for anything, please just slide into our DMs.
Anything spiritually, educationally related, Shyamali would be happy.
Shyamali
because...
will probably need a new job soon.
Yeah, I could just picture what they were hearing. And then the thousands of heads devouring bodies. And I was like, oh my God, what did they hear?
You need context. So if this is your first episode, please go back because you need context.
Yeah, and if you were a child at a Catholic school, don't share this with your parents.
No, totally share it with your parents.
Yes, telling them to keep it a secret between us will get me even more fired.
That's our secret, child.
Sorry.
No, don't keep it a secret. Share it with whoever you want, but tell them to start at episode one.
Yes, exactly.
And if you have any questions, send us a text at Modern Yogi Podcast.
At Modern Yogi Podcast.
And send employment opportunities at Modern Yogi Podcast for Shyamali.
Okay, moving on.
Okay, all right, the invocation, please, ladies.
All right.
Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Shakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha.
Translation. I was born in the darkest ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torch of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto them. Mm. Chapter 11, text number 44, Priyadarshini.
You are the Supreme Lord. This is Arjuna speaking.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You are the Supreme Lord, to be worshipped by every living being. Thus, I fall down to offer you my respectful obeisances and ask your mercy. As a father tolerates the impudence of his son, a friend the impertinence of a friend, or a husband the familiarity of his wife, please tolerate the wrongs I may have done you.
Mm. Ooh, dos, por favor.
Dos. you mean again?
Yes. How do you say that in Spanish?
Otra vez.
Otra vez, por favor.
Okay. You are the Supreme Lord, to be worshipped by every living being. Thus, I fell down to offer you my respectful obeisances and ask your mercy. As a father tolerates the impudence of his son, a friend the impertinence of a friend, or a husband the familiarity of his wife, please tolerate the wrongs I may have done you.
Mm.
That's so sweet.
That is really sweet. Okay, so just so everyone knows what these words mean, Arjuna is sort of apologizing to be like, okay, dude, I just realized you're God. I'm sorry for treating you less than God. And then the words like are, as a father tolerates the impudence of his friend, and impudence? What am I saying you're wrong? Impudence.
Loompa, loompa,
that's what I thought.
The impudence. The impudence.
Impudence?
The impudence. It means arrogance, okay?
I'm pretty sure we're saying that wrong.
Wait, how do you say it? It's impudence.
Impudence.
That's what I said. No, it's
not. Okay, so what does it mean?
It means arrogance.
Oh, the arrogance of... Oh, so the father tolerates the arrogance of his son?
Correct.
Okay.
And then, as a friend, the impertinence of a friend, it's rudeness.
Yeah, not, like...
Yeah, disrespect.
So as a friend, tolerates the disrespect of a friend.
Or a husband, and familiarity means... Familiarity. Everyone knows what that means. But yeah, so like rude.
We're really coming on strong today.
We are academics, okay, ladies? We're really showing our strong scholarly side today.
Familiarity means familiarity.
So anyway, so what I think Arjuna is trying to say is that he's finally being like, oh my God, you are God. Okay. And so please forgive me for all of this like colloquialisms that we've had in our relationship that some might see to be disrespectful. Why are you laughing? It's because you knew because I said the word colloquial.
I just had a montage of everything you've been saying.
You know, there's a lot of hard words in this verse, okay? This is not an easy verse,
it's
very okay?
good. When I get laughing fits, like, it's me. I can't stop.
Okay, let me tell
you a
story.
I can't tolerate your impudence.
No. That was so close. It was impertinence.
Oh, sorry.
Familiarity means familiarity. Arjuna's been a bit colloquial with our Krishna. He's a bit impudent.
So anywho, let me get it back to this. For all of you, so Shama and Shamali were there, but a couple of weeks back, I got this opportunity, and this is relevant to some degree. I got the opportunity to be the MC or master of ceremonies, like the speaker of an event that had 3,000 people.
She crushed it.
Get it.
I did not feel that way inside. And so the reason I'm saying that is like, I think... when you're in a position where you like learn a lot of information, all you want to do is be like, oh my God, I'm so sorry if I made any mistakes. Right. And I think that's what Arjuna is doing here too. Mm. And it's something I really value about devotees or like, you know, bhakti practitioners, because it's kind of a mood that I've seen my whole life where they're like, whenever they do something, they'll say like, please forgive me if I've like committed any offenses. Now that's like a really like heavy line. Please forgive me if I've committed any offenses. But it does carry the understanding that as human beings, there will be familiarity that is built or arrogance that will be displayed or annoyance or disrespectfulness that will happen. And like
consciously or unconsciously.
Yeah. Right, exactly. Right. So then to be sort of proactive. And I think Arjuna is kind of saying like, oh, in this case, it's more so because I didn't recognize that you were God, the creator of everything. And I treated you just like a friend, like my cousin, like just anyone, but you're not just anyone. So I'm so sorry for anything that I might've said or done that like Because imagine you're talking to God, right? And you're like, oh, well, yeah. So like, I just feel like the world wasn't created that well. Or like everything should not be done. Like, why do people have to do this?
No,
or
you're
that?
Talking to God, not knowing he's God. Exactly. And then you're complaining about how everything's created.
Totally. Like, why do I have to fight a war? Like, why do I have to do this? Like, why do I have to do my responsibility? This is not what I should be doing. And he, like, even complaining about like, all kinds of things about the world,
it's
right?
It's like, why is tipping culture so crazy, Krishna? And then Krishna's like, I invented tipping culture.
I hope that is not true.
But you know what I mean? Like, it's like awkward.
Tipping culture was invented by demons.
It's also true. The Rishashas invented tipping culture.
But yeah. So I think he's kind of like,
he's
I'm sorry for anything I've said without realizing that you were God.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really good point, Priya, because also it points towards what a beautiful culture within the devotee community that you really, it cultivates humility because you really, I'm sorry for any offense I may have made. I mean, that really makes one take the humble pie rather than maybe it's more common to like, whatever, sorry you took it that way. You know, like, I don't know. You're in a community that you're really trying to cultivate these qualities that allow you to perceive Krishna's love. And in order to feel that love, you need to humble yourself a little. In the beginning of this podcast, we even talked all about in the mood you need to have to approach these texts, to approach a spiritual teacher. And here Arjuna is basically what you're saying, showing us that humility also. Mm-hmm. I'm so sorry, Krishna. Wow. Yeah. You are not just my friend and my cousin. You are God.
Yeah. And the importance of apologizing, right? Because it also eliminates karma when you do that, right? Because you're preventing further karma, right? If like Shamli, you were saying, you're like, I'm sorry you took it that way. And then you further aggravate the situation. You actually add more karma, right? But when you apologize, you eradicate that karma.
Yeah.
I tried to do that a little bit with my mom. Like I was in Toronto for 2 weeks. And I think our heaviest karma is with our family members.
Because
there's so much karma that happens between these people.
Totally.
And it can be so frustrating and so like just so much of it. And so I was there for 2 weeks. And at the end, like me and my mom got into this little thing. But then she was driving us to the airport the next day. And I turned to her and I was like, please forgive me for any offenses. Oh. And she said, please forgive me for any offenses. And we just hugged and we literally just squashed everything.
That's so
and I
sweet.
Think that's such a beautiful mood to be in. It's like, hey, I know that we're family and I know that we've done things right and wrong, whether consciously or subconsciously. Mm-hmm. But like, I just want to apologize for anything from my heart. Mm. And I think that's what Arjuna is doing right now.
What inspired you to want to say that in that moment? Please forgive me.
Because I see her as a beautiful Vaishnava. Like I see her as this beautiful devotee of Krishna, and I never want to do anything that hurts a devotee. And like that, and I have so much respect for her, even though she gets on my nerves. I have so much respect for her as a devotee, as my mom, you know, like, and so I just want to squash the karma, squash the just any beef. Or, you know, I just want to squash everything
vegetarian
in that moment.
Vegetarian beef,
vegan beef, beyond meat burger. I just want to squash all of that just so that she knows that like, I don't mean anything.
What you just said kind of put this verse further into context for me, because what you're saying is that your mother is your mother and she sometimes can annoy you or frustrate you or whatever the word might be, right? Mm-hmm. And like you kind of lose sight of the fact that she's a beautiful devotee, like a soul inside.
Yep.
And so like you might do something that might make her feel a certain way. And then you realize, well, but she's like a beautiful soul. Like she's Krishna.
Yeah.
And then you're like, I'm so sorry for anything I've done to you
totally.
By almost forgetting that you are Krishna, a part of Krishna, that you are this soul, that you are, that I almost just see you as my mother. And like sometimes that becomes so familiar that even within that relationship, it can be like a little messy and create difficult situations, right?
Yes.
Oh, totally. Yeah. I love that. And building off of that, so her point and then your point, and then it makes me think that we have to see everyone in the perspective that they're a soul on their journey back to Krishna, as you're saying. So then, even if you're right and they're totally in the wrong, like in Spanish, we say, ¿qué te cuesta? What does it cost you to apologize?
Ooh.
What does it cost you other than making life a little easier for them and helping them a little on their path back home?
What's it called?
¿Qué te cuesta?
I love that.
What does it cost you to just do that? And my mom always does that. She tells me like, if when I was younger and my sister and I would get into sibling squabbles, she would be like, ¿qué te cuesta? What does it cost you to just say sorry?
Oof,
if it makes her feel better.
Yeah.
Even if you're right.
Yeah.
And it was so true, you know? So I love that you had that perspective with your mom, because you might have all your rationale, why, whatever. She drives you nuts and you this, that, I don't know. But then She is also an individual soul beyond the role that we might temporarily have in this life. And we need to see everyone in that perspective of how can we all help each other on our journey back home.
Yeah. And in a relationship way, like you can also think about like, so she, I know we're like really going on this, but she's your mom, but she's also just a woman. She's also just this. She's also just that. Like what circumstances or situations might have caused the difficulty or this, like there's so much behind it. So to be able to say like, I'm so sorry for any offenses I've, you know, done or committed or whatever, it's like, it's really admirable and a really nice quality to be able to say like, I don't, yes, it frustrated me. It was a difficult situation, whatever, but like, there's more to this. There's more to her. There's more to the situation and there's love, right?
Yeah. So,
relationship wise. Yeah,
absolutely. I thought of something similar like that the other day also, because then also just bringing it into very broad perspective of life is so short. And most of the time people have no idea the effect they're having on others with their words, with their actions. So just letting things more like droplets on a bird's feather, just glide off because, you know, whatever, they'll figure it out. I don't have to be in charge of that. And let's all continue on our journey.
Que te cuesta.
Que te cuesta.
That was so close.
That was getting better. Right?
That was really good. Yeah.
Que te cuesta.
Cuesta. Oh, because she doesn't really say the S's so much, but que te cuesta.
Que te cuesta.
Que te cuesta.
Yeah, sí, that was beautiful.
Nailed it.
Beautiful.
Muy bien indeed.
Okay. Beautiful.
Anything else? Familiarity with his wife, husband and wife.
The purport is super short. Do you want to read it or nah?
I can read it.
Yeah, go for it.
All right, purport. Krishna's devotees relate to Krishna in various relationships. One might treat Krishna as a son, or one might treat Krishna as a husband, as a friend, or as a master. Krishna and Arjuna are related in friendship. As the father tolerates, or the husband, or a master tolerates, so Krishna tolerates.
Okay.
I think it's really cool that like a Sanskrit verse from so many years back can like explain the difficulties in relationships in such simple terms. Like it is often that you find the conflict between like a parent and their child in terms of arrogance, like very common, right? Like it's depicted from 5,000 years ago and it's like,
and it hasn't changed in 5,000 years.
It's just human nature, or like friends annoying each other, or husband and wife getting too familiar and kind of getting annoyed, right?
Like the husband leaving the toilet seat up, you know?
Yeah,
that can be annoying.
Shama really wanted me to bring that up. Yeah. I think it's like a stereotypical thing, like women prefer the seat to be down and then men are like, why? It's just fine as it is. But we solved that.
How did you solve it?
We have a Japanese toilet.
And then, oh my God. So Priya, this is not related to the verse at all, but you touch Priya's toilet with your foot and the seat automatically goes up. And I think that's what this verse is all about. No, I'm joking.
It's all about our toilet.
Just tolerate any wrongdoings.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, the deeper we are on our own spiritual path is the degree that we can then tolerate and accept situations further. They won't rile us up so much the more evolved we go becoming. So like relationships with parents and siblings, parents and children, the more, maybe the less evolved someone is, they don't see everything their parents have done for them. No matter all the wrongs a parent might do, it's just so easy to get caught up. And then they did this and that, and I'm so traumatized, and you don't grow past then the trauma that you feel, like almost the victim perspective.
And then the lesson is not learned, right? Because what are we supposed to be doing on this planet? We're supposed to be getting close to Krishna, serving devotees and like learning lessons, right?
Yeah.
And if we fight back and we don't apologize and we try to think that we're right, we are not learning any of those lessons. And boop, what happens? We reincarnate over and over again. Right. And so we learn those lessons.
And at the same time, like you were saying, we should tolerate everything. And I feel like there is kind of like a fine line there, because tolerating is not meant to be harmful, right? Mm-hmm. Like if it's going to be harmful in some way, like whether it's to your relationship or to your body, like actually I was talking to my mother-in-law and I don't think she listens to the podcast. But, she was telling me how she just having a lot of struggles, physical struggles and a lot of pain. And she finally like waited like 2 weeks, but she was having fevers and like difficult stuff. And she waited 2 weeks to go to the doctor and to like see what was going on because she thought maybe it would pass, right? Mm-hmm. We tolerate. She tolerated. And when she went to the doctor said, do not tolerate this. Like, do not. You have to immediately figure out what is happening and try to resolve it because it's harmful. So like, not just in a physical sense, but I also think like in emotional ways, like it doesn't mean fight back when you're having conflict with a family or show arrogance or whatever. But it does mean learn. Grow, discover, resolve, right? Like not everything needs to be tolerated. Some things need to be tolerated.
I don't know if that. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Because you can imagine extreme situations. If you're in an abusive relationship, don't tolerate. Don't think like a martyr. This is my karma. Well, no. Change your situation.
And it doesn't have to be so extreme. It could be just like, oh, my back really hurts. My back really hurts. My back really hurts. You know, maybe I should check my back.
Right.
Like we don't have to tolerate everything.
Yep.
Right.
Absolutely. Learn and grow.
Yeah, learn and grow.
That's all we're here for, ladies. Learning and growing.
And apologizing as Arjuna does.
Very nice. Okay. Nailed it.
All right. Text 45.
Shama Sangeeta.
Arjuna is saying, after seeing this universal form, which I have never seen before, I am gladdened. But at the same time, my mind is disturbed with fear. Therefore, please bestow your grace upon me and reveal again your form as the personality of Godhead. O Lord of Lords, O abode of the universe.
He's like, this is so cool, but like, it's a little scary. Yeah. Can we go back to like normal?
Right. I love this because he's like being real and being vulnerable and asking for what he needs. But like, it's like, he's never seen this universal form before and it's great. However, it's also...
Right. It's interesting because Prabhupada says, as his such dear close friend, he's so happy for Krishna to see like, wow, he is the realist. He's the best. I like so genuinely overjoyed. But at the same time, he's also afraid because he thinks he has committed so many offenses to Krishna out of his unalloyed friendship. Prabhupada writes that that's part of the reason why he's then afraid. Like, oh my gosh, I have done so many wrongs here. So I think the fear goes on many levels. It's out of also Arjuna's humility that he thinks I did so much wrong to Krishna that seeing this form brings him fear even more than normal.
Yeah.
I also think it's really interesting that he's asking him to show his form as a personality of Godhead because Prabhupada here is saying that Arjuna is requesting to see Krishna's four-handed feature. And that's not the Krishna that was in the battlefield, right? Like you just see Krishna with two hands. So I think it's interesting that it's going from universal form to four arms, not directly back to...
Yeah, I think he just needed like a reduction in arms. Like just and heads and heads and bellies and mouths. He just needed a complete reduction. So he recognized his friend again.
Right. Basically, yeah, he's asking to see Krishna's form as Narayan because Krishna can assume then any form and is reminding us that the universal form that he busted out with all the heads and everything, it's material and temporary, just like this material world. But in the Vaikuntha planets, Krishna has his transcendental form with four hands as Narayan. So that's the one. It is interesting that why wouldn't he want to see Krishna in Vrindavan, the cowherd boy, or but he wants to see the four-handed
form. I think we may find out in the next verse.
Yeah. But you know what's interesting? Like it is an interesting request for like Arjuna to ask this, right? Because what if Krishna had like an on-off switch for this universal form, right? It's like a flick of a switch. He can become the universal form. And then imagine like Krishna never switched off. And then Arjuna just had to like go around town with his friend in the universal form state, like just go to Trader Joe's and like he had to explain things to people.
That'd be a little embarrassing.
It would be a weird conversation. You know what I mean?
Right.
So he's asking to switch back so that he's less fearful. And it's just like, everyone can handle this.
So he doesn't have to take him to Trader Joe's and explain to other people.
He doesn't have to explain.
It's just the social embarrassment. Right.
I mean, not the social embarrassment. Because like, if your friend's God, you want to show that off. You know what I mean? But it's also, you just have to explain a lot, you know?
So your first thought seeing the universal form would be like, you know, this would give me a lot of brownie points with my friends. You want to come with me?
How do I explain this to the clerk at Trader Joe's?
Why are you taking Krishna to Trader Joe's? I mean, take him to Erwan.
Erwan? Yeah, I could take him. He might like the Hailey Bieber smoothie.
I didn't know this next part, but okay. So basically, there are innumerable planets in the spiritual sky. in each of them, Krishna is present in his different plenary manifestation, which has different names. So basically it's saying, because Narayan is the four-handed form that each hand is holding a different symbol, the conch, mace, lotus, and disc. But this part I didn't know. According to the different hands these four things are held in, the Narayans are variously named. So mm-hmm. It's the different names are in accordance to the different things he's holding. I didn't know that. But all these forms nonetheless are Krishna. So Arjuna wanted to see the four-handed feature.
Very nice.
Beautiful.
Very okay. nice.
All right, text Shyamali? Number 46.
Arjuna says, O universal form, O thousand-armed Lord, I wish to see you in your four-armed form, with helmeted head and with club, wheel, conch, and lotus flower in your hands. I long to see you in that form.
Again, wait, can you repeat surprising.
That one more time?
Yeah.
Picture this. Yeah.
O universal form. O thousand-armed Lord, I wish to see you in your four-armed form, with helmeted head and with club, wheel, conch, and lotus flower in your hands. I long to see you in that form.
Helmeted head.
Helmeted head.
That's like
the
helmet
warrior.
Hair. Helmet hair. With club, wheel, conch, and lotus flower.
Oh, that is a warrior. You're right.
Yeah.
I guess they're on the battlefield, club. So, you know, that would make sense.
And remember, yeah, Arjuna is a soldier. So I think, like, remember how we were saying a couple episodes ago where it's like Arjuna uses very straightforward language,
right?
And he can recognize armor really quickly. Whereas like Sanjaya, he like goes to poetry slams on Saturdays and like uses very like beautiful artistry in his words. And I think that the form that a soldier would like is another soldier.
You know, totally.
Like we like what we're familiar with.
Right, you know? Right. Absolutely.
I'm still surprised by the forearms, but... Just like, just seems random, but cool.
Yeah.
Maybe that's his favorite. That's his favorite form.
How does Arjuna know that Krishna has a forearm form? Oh my God.
Touche.
Like, where did that come from? Where did he go from? Like, I've never seen the universal form. You just introduced me to it. But then now, can you show me four arms with a helmet and a flower and a disc and a club?
So unless it was already present within the universal form expansion.
You're right.
But if it wasn't,
that's my favorite one.
If it wasn't, then this indicates, like, you know, when like the person interrogating, like, let's say the police officer interrogating someone, they reveal information that the person under questioning hasn't said yet. And the person is like, wait a minute, how did you know that?
Yeah.
So it's like Arjuna's kind of revealing his elevated status as an eternal associate with Krishna because he actually knows all this stuff and is asking for our benefit.
Ooh, I see. I like can see that. Both. I'm looking at plate 11 once again, and I don't see. I see the lotus, I see a sword, but I don't see Krishna's forehand form particularly. But again, this is a limited picture because Krishna is limitless.
Yes, right. But perhaps the four-armed form was shown at a different part of their like childhood or something. Like they were
No, because I don't think he knew he was God until now, right?
Oh, touche. But there's something that Arjuna knows that we don't know.
Yeah, yes, definitely. Yes, like Shyamali was saying, they, you know, lifetimes of actually knowing each other. Cool.
Yeah. And it's interesting because Prabhupada says that in all of the forms that Krishna has, the one constant feature is that Krishna is always fresh like a young man. So he's never old. So that's interesting.
I like that.
You will never see an old Krishna. He's always beautiful. Cool.
It's like, of course. We can claim that our God is young and beautiful.
Yeah. I mean,
and he likes to dance. Yeah. And he's nice. And he has a lot of heads and bellies and mouths. So.
Yeah.
But it's pretty cool.
He's pretty cool.
I love to show that off at Trader Joe's.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Anything else on this verse, guys?
I think that's it.
Basically, Prabhupada says the gist of this is this verse establishes without any doubt that Krishna is the original personality of Godhead and everything or all other features originate from him. Okay.
Very nice. Cool.
Priyadarshini, text 47.
All right. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, oh, Krishna's speaking now.
Yes. Okay.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, my dear Arjuna, happily have I shown you by my internal potency, the supreme universal form within the material world. No one before you has ever seen this primal form, unlimited and full of glaring effulgence.
Wow.
No one before.
Right. So that's the first time he revealed that form.
Wow. That's amazing.
That's so interesting.
After we started reading this chapter, like I changed the background on my phone to the universal form. I don't know if you guys can see this because it's such a cool image.
Like, it really is.
Like that is such a powerful, and this is just an image, right? But like Krishna is so cool in this universal form. And Arjuna is the first person who has seen it.
Right. And you know, what's interesting that Arjuna isn't the only one because it was shown to Arjuna, but also because the form was shown in public, all of the other devotees of Krishna in the heavenly planets and in other planets in outer space, Prabhupada says, could also see it. So in other words, all the disciplic devotees of the Lord, meaning those who are in this disciplic succession of guru, disciple, they were able to see the universal form that was shown to Arjuna by the mercy of Krishna.
Wow.
Beautiful.
So wow. Because of Arjuna, a lot of people got to see.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like Sanjaya too, because he's looking through.
Exactly.
So a bunch of people got this beautiful, amazing experience because Arjuna asked questions and actually because Arjuna had doubts about what to do with his life.
Mm. Right.
It's like,
right.
Who would have thunk it?
Who would have thunk it? I love Krishna's use of the word happily. My dear Arjuna, happily I have shown you by my internal potency. Mm-hmm. Like yeah. He was like, all right, you ask and I will reveal. And that's kind of a cool. I like that he said happily.
Mm.
No one before you has ever seen this primal form.
This shows also that Krishna wants you to bring him into whatever emotion or problem you're traversing, you know? I had a friend the other day say like, because I said, pray to Krishna about X, Y, or Z. Pray to him. And she said, I just feel like, if I'm praying for something, I know what I should pray for. I should pray for service. I should pray to get initiated. Mm. I just feel like if I'm not feeling it right now, it's because of me. I'm doing something wrong. So I just feel almost like she couldn't pray to Krishna to bring him in. And I was like, no, that's the opposite. Krishna already knows what's in our heart. He knows the walls we have up. Bring the wall down and pray to him. Because if something is getting in the way of you feeling Krishna's love and Krishna's presence, he wants you to pray to him for it. It's not that we have to figure it out all on our own. So here in a way, Arjuna, even though he's elevated and his problems are different than ours, he's praying to Krishna and bringing him into that emotion. This all started with his anxiety panic attack.
Yep.
And he brought Krishna in and prayed to him. So it's not that we have to figure it out all on our own because you know what? I got myself into this mess and I have this and that shortcoming. So I can't possibly pray to Krishna for help.
Yeah.
Bring him in. And that's exactly what you said. It all started with, I just thought of that because Priya, you said, it all started with Arjuna's doubts. And that's why then look at the mercy Krishna's giving Arjuna.
Yeah.
He brought him in.
It's simultaneously the hardest and the easiest thing to do at the same time, like surrendering, giving our problems to Krishna, right?
Yeah.
It's hard because we have this notion that we're the controller and that we need to get ourselves out of this mess if we put ourselves in it and like we need to fix things and we need to control it. But it's also simultaneously so easy to be like, Krishna, put your hands up. I like can't control any of this. I need your help. I need to put this burden on your shoulders now. And I remember every single time that I've had a prayer like that, Krishna just takes it away.
Totally.
Like magically within the next couple of days or a week, like I just give it. But it's so hard and so easy at the same time.
I completely agree with that because, you know, I remember my dad worded it so simply. He's like, it's our egos that keeps us all in this material world. Mm. And it's our egos that prevent us really from feeling like, you know what? What you said, put your hands up. I need help. Krishna, please help me. Because we might think it's out of like some, no, I couldn't possibly bother Krishna or whatever. But what is that that's preventing you from asking for help? It is number one, like you said, we want to control. And number two, it is a bit we need that humility to be able to say, please help. I'm totally lost.
Yep. I was going to say on humility, I think it is important because sometimes we're like, even in Krishna consciousness, outside of Krishna consciousness, it applies to many factors of our life. But we might be like, well, no, I'm failing so bad. I need to fix it myself because I don't want to show that I'm failing in some capacity. I don't want to ask for help because I'm not showing up the best way possible. And most of us want to show up in a good way, right? So we don't want to be like, humility takes understanding like, okay, I am struggling. I am not able to do this. Like, it is okay for me to seek help, whatever. Yeah. It's like a friend, mentor, Krishna through prayer, like to be able to recognize that like, one, we can't fix everything just ourselves sometimes.
Yeah.
And it's okay to not be in a perfect or ideal state of anything, right?
Right.
I was, I saw this, I don't remember where I read this or something, but there was having a conversation with someone, they were saying something like, oh yeah, this person who works under me. Oh yeah. It was a conversation with Abhijit actually. And he was telling me about his coworker and the manager basically was talking about how he has someone who works under him who was struggling, but he didn't hear it from that person. And so this whole time, the person looks like they're lazy and they're not interested in doing the work, but actually they were just struggling and they didn't have the knowledge, or like they didn't feel comfortable enough being humble and being like, I need help. But instead of asking for help, they look like actually they were not interested and just didn't care to do a good job. Right. And so it's like, it's so hard, but it's so useful in so many aspects of our life to like realize where we're at and be humble and understand like, okay, I need help. I got to say it. I got to ask for it.
Right.
I can't control everything.
Totally.
Either Krishna, mentor, friend, there's always, you know, Krishna in different forms trying to help us.
Mm, yep.
Oh, absolutely. And I think framing in this way we're talking about now is requiring humility is nice, because many times people don't think of it as it's because of my ego or a lack of humility. Because oftentimes it comes from a good place. It comes from, no, I can do this. I really can. So we think we're working extra hard, but it's like, no. But you also, it requires that humility and that putting your head down and throwing your arms up like Draupadi of like, I have my limits and I have my walls and I really need some divine intervention right now to help me through this.
Yeah. I think there's also this notion of like, I don't want to burden others. Like, I don't want to tell people this. I don't want to burden anybody. But I think that Krishna doesn't look at it that way. I was he's just like, give it to me. I can hold it. I can definitely a lot stronger than you. So like, just give it to me. Like, I feel like Krishna is saying that to us, but we just have to take that leap of faith and like have that conversation and ask that question and do that prayer, you know? Cause like Krishna can handle it. There's nothing Krishna can't handle.
Right.
And he's saying he's doing it happily in this verse.
Happily.
Absolutely. Happily. Yeah. And it's also almost funny because, and I mentioned this to the friend, I was like, Krishna's already in our hearts and already knows. So it's almost like not praying to him is kind of just like, he's already in on the secret. Mm. You can just talk to him about it because he knows.
Yeah.
Like, don't worry.
Yeah.
So.
Love it. Anything else on 47?
Just one final interesting. Do you want to take it?
Yeah. And I thought this was cool. It says, some have commented. So we were talking about how Arjuna and Sanjaya and all of the disciples and devotees were able to see Krishna's universal form.
Mm-hmm.
And Prabhupada says here, someone has commented that this form was shown to Duryodhana also when Krishna went to Duryodhana to negotiate for peace.
Evil D.
Yeah, that's Evil D. So actually Krishna went to see Evil D and was trying to negotiate to avoid the war.
Mm.
And it says, unfortunately, Evil D did not accept the peace offer. But at that time, Krishna manifested some of his universal forms. But those forms are different from these ones shown to Arjuna. It is clearly said that no one has ever seen this form before. So I think like
the
fraction.
Whole
exactly. Yeah. Arjuna got the whole shebang, whereas Evil D got a fraction of it.
Which and is it like still so didn't even scare him. It didn't even scare him.
I know.
He saw like a little bit of Krishna's universal form.
My question is, how is Evil D not afraid of Krishna?
Out of his pride, probably, right?
Yeah.
Because it's interesting. It was out of Arjuna's humility that he was afraid. Like, oh my gosh, I did so much to offend Krishna. And here he is in all his splendor. And Duryodhana just wasn't even, I mean, he must have been fazed, but maybe he didn't show it. I'm curious, how did that go down? Like Krishna said, here's a peace offering. Duryodhana was like, no thanks, bruh. And Krishna's like, whatcha, universal form?
Whatcha?
Or
it was just like, whatcha?
Like an intimidating factor.
Like an intimidating factor. Or Krishna was like, here's a peace offering, shows the universal form, and then still Duryodhana's uninterested. Like, at what point did the universal form come?
And either way, I'm surprised that Duryodhana chose not to take Krishna as his... You know how Duryodhana was given the option of either choosing Krishna or Krishna's army to fight on
before the battle, right?
If you see any aspect of the universal form, what makes you choose Krishna's soldiers over him?
Mm. You know what it is? I think it's like, you know that term... blinded with rage.
Yeah.
I think like everything that he was facing, like the ego, the pride, the anger, the rage, like that blinds you to what is actually true and real and what's right in front of you.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like the more covered over, you don't know what's good for you anymore. Mm-hmm. What weighs up and what weighs down.
Yep.
Totally.
And that intensity to attachment to a certain desire, right? That can cloud so much of your logical judgment that it just like, you can't tell right from wrong anymore.
Absolutely. Wow. Yeah. Interesting.
Cool. All righty then.
Next text.
48.
Text Shama Sangeeta.
48. Yes. Krishna is speaking. O best of the Kuru warriors, no one before you has ever seen this universal form of mine. For neither by studying the Vedas, nor by performing sacrifices, nor by charity, nor by pious activities, nor by severe penances Can I be seen in this form in the material world?
Interesting.
Makes sense. I feel like you don't show you all of the parts of you unless you're really, really close with someone.
That's true. That is true.
And even though he showed Duryodhana his, or Evil D, his universal, some part of his universal form, it was maybe more of like we don't know which one it was. It was like, I am the supreme. Like, understand that you should not have this war. Or it was like, listen, I can beat you up because I am the supreme. Whichever form it
Either
was.
Either way, it's cool, you know.
It wasn't his full
Krishna's body,
personality.
Krishna's choice. Yeah. Like whatever he wished to show.
Yeah.
Right.
So.
It's in the purport, it starts off by saying the divine vision in this connection is clearly understood because it makes this question, okay, who can have divine vision? And divine means godly. So unless one attains the status of divinity, he cannot have divine vision unless Krishna gives you through mercy. So it's not like we wake up one day and we'll just be able to see this with our material vision. So yeah, we can't have that vision without becoming divine like Arjuna.
Yeah, I kind of love this because like at the end of the day, the answer to this verse is love, right? Like Arjuna loves Krishna. Arjuna values Krishna, respects Krishna, and just like loves. And Arjuna asked that request to show the universal form, like out of love, right?
That
and
is
like,
so
just
true.
Wanting to see it. And what is great about this verse is like Krishna is saying, right? And like this is very important. No one has seen this before, not by studying the Vedas, not performing activities or sacrifices, by charity, by pious activities, nor by severe penances. Like none of like all the of these ritualistic things, right? Like all of the book following things, like no one got that opportunity by doing any of these things, but Arjuna got it because of love.
That is so true.
This is the most powerful tool.
Yeah, that's the greatest lesson that we can learn. If you remember nothing else from the Gita, just know that like Krishna, all he cares about is your love. That's it.
It's your heart, like how kind, loving, how much love you have for Krishna and for others, because Krishna is in everyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oof. And it's so interesting because once you already reach the status of being a pure devotee and being eligible to see this, it says devotees who are actually in the divine nature and who have that divine vision aren't actually really interested in seeing the universal form of the Lord. Mm. So maybe at one point you're enamored by the splendor, by the grandeur of everything. But once you're qualified, you no longer even want it. You just want love. Like you're saying, Shaman, you want to be with Krishna.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
If you love Krishna, that means you like appreciate so much more of him that like a form of him is not going to be like so fascinating. Like, or not so fascinating, but like, it's like, cool, that's another aspect of you. I love you for so many reasons, right?
Yeah.
Like if you, I don't know, friend or partner or whatever, like they dress up and they look really nice. You're like, wow, that's so cool. But like, I love you just as you are when you're wearing pajamas, like, or whatever, you know, it doesn't matter.
Right.
So
it's quite far out that before this time, no one ever saw this form. And now because of Arjuna's love, essentially, everyone can have some idea of what they call the Vishvarup, or the universal form after this incident.
So cool. Thank you, Arjuna, for showing us.
Yeah.
Because through your words, we kind of were able to see it.
Oh, that's a beautiful ending, like prayer. Thank you, Arjuna.
Yeah.
Jai.
We'll see you guys next time.
Yeah. Thank you for listening for everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Hello, beautiful souls. If you like what you're hearing, please follow us on Instagram at Modern Yogi Podcast.
And if you love what you're hearing, please make sure to share a link to our podcast at Modern Yogi Podcast with all your friends, families, and long-lost cousins.
And if you have any questions at all, send us a DM on Instagram at Modern Yogi Podcast, and we'll be sure to get back to you.
Thank you for listening to
The Modern Yogi.